Theirs to Protect. Brought to you by Dublin's Q102.
With the IBI and funded by Commission Naman with the television licence fee.
Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
Hi there, I'm Kevin O'Mahony, and here on Dublin's Q102, we're involved in a new project called Ours to Protect. Over the next 12 months, we'll be talking to Dubliners who are doing their bit to tackle climate change and champion climate action. We'll also be encouraging you to do your part. Today, we chat about the responsibility of us as individuals versus the responsibilities of the big emitters. We hear from Oisin Coughlan with Friends of the Earth on how Ireland missing its climate targets is the wake-up call we need for serious change. We'll also be hitting the streets to get your thoughts on the ways we can improve our carbon footprint. Don't forget, you can find out more about the topics we cover at q102.ie/ours2protect and at ours2protect.ie.
Feel Good Q.
Dublin's Q102.
Now, firstly, I'm joined by Green Party Councillor Donna Cooney and Callum McLaren, who's a PhD candidate in environmental law at UCD. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having us on, Kevin.
Thanks very much.
Now, the Global Climate Change Project this week have come out with a new report showing indicators of climate change since 2019 have found human-induced warming is rising at a rate of 0.2 degrees Celsius per decade, and that annual greenhouse gas emissions are at an all-time high. This is also on top of a report last week from the EPA, which found Ireland is on course to miss its 2030 climate targets. I suppose, firstly, to you, Donna, do you feel there's a sense that, you know, we had COVID and climate may have got a little bit lost in the agenda there, and now that the pandemic is over, there's a renewed urgency to bring it back to the forefront of our minds? And do you think that these stories about targets being missed and things like that, do they help?
They do, but you also have to show that, you know, that progress is possible and look at where we have made inroads, where we are, you know, reducing our, you know, we're reducing. We looked at yesterday at the figures in terms of, you know, private car transport into Dublin city centre, hugely reduced, you know what I mean, over the years. When you look at those reductions, you think, you know, you have to see where you've got to. You know, I know we have a lot more to do, but unless you sort of recognise that we have had some successes, it does tend to make us feel defeatist and that we don't end up doing something. We go out, you know, work, we're all doomed anyway, so let's just party. And that's the wrong sort of mindset that you don't want to have. There's a lot of distractions now, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the world, like war, and, you know, and there's a lot of things that people can maybe say then that's the reason for us not to act, for us not to take time. But, you know, arguably these are the sort of the resource wars and the wars that we're going to see more of if we don't take more climate, if we don't take more climate action and do it in a just and fair and transition way. So, I mean, people are aware of climate change now. They're aware that we need to take actions. I think that the surveys that have been done by Dublin City Council and nationally is that people do want, it's a priority for them. You know, they know it's something that we need to take urgent action from. People are not always aware of the changes that need to be made for that. And sometimes, you know, people can really go around making people feel fearful of those changes. And in fact, what we are actually, what we're looking at is a much better future if we make those changes. We're looking at, you know, the costs of energy being little or nothing, you know what I mean, in comparison to now. We're talking about security, in terms of security of energy, security of food. So there's a whole lot of benefits to us taking climate action at a personal level and at a community level.
But look, ultimately as well, it's not just about the personal, the individual and community. You know, I think it's safe to say that big corporation and the corporations and the biggest emitters have a massive role to play in all of this as well. To you, Callum, considering the scope of your work relating to climate liability for private emitters of greenhouse gases, can you explain to us some of the biggest emitters in Ireland and what sectors need to improve on the most? And also what steps, you know, can be taken under law to get the bigger companies to reduce their carbon footprint?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think building off what you said, Donna, there is an increased awareness around climate issues at the moment, but I suppose my main gripe is that their narrative has sort of almost forgotten the impact that these massive corporations have. Like, for instance, when we look at global emissions, 71% of global emissions have come from just 100 companies since 1988. It's an absolutely staggering figure. But then looking closer to home in Ireland, companies that emit the most greenhouse gases, we've got one clear winner here, which is Ryanair. In fact, Ryanair is in the top 10 highest emitting companies in the EU, and it's the only non-coal-fired power plant in that list. So yeah, we have our own problems at home as well. And I suppose I have a bit of a frustration with the current climate narrative, which is that every time you look at headlines, look through the news, you see Germany's failed here, Ireland's failed here, but there's not nearly enough focus on Shell has done this, Exxon has done this. So because these companies don't have a strict legal obligation, obligations are more so put on nation states. What I'm doing is trying to leapfrog all these procedural hurdles and look at pursuing these companies in litigation to change their behavior.
And is that something that has been done before in other countries? Has it happened here? I know there was the case, the climate case Ireland a few years ago, where an environmental group sued the state. But are, you know, should we be actually focusing on the big companies and taking legal action against them then?
I absolutely think so. Yes. In terms of cases that are by companies, and one, we only have one example, which is a Dutch case, Milieu Defensie, against Royal Dutch Shell. And what we saw, which is a little bit different than the absolute plethora of cases we have in the EU, where litigants are winning against their national governments, forcing them to change their plans. What we saw in the fallout of the Milieu Defensie case was Shell actually moved its headquarters to the UK, dropped the Royal Dutch from the start of its name. And that just gives you a little bit of an idea of how terrified these companies are of this form of litigation.
Donna, you know, just on Callum's point there, do you feel that that could be an option to get more movement and momentum behind faster change in terms of our emissions, to focus on the biggest companies and start looking about, you know, serious ways we can challenge what they're doing in the courts?
Well, Friends of the Irish Environment were the ones that took the climate case, and they have looked at you know, at the issue around, you know, expansion of Dublin Airport. You know, it is putting an awful lot of onus then on environmental groups really to be going to the courts, and they are good. They've been taking these cases, but they're putting their old time and their resources into this. And, you know, anything I suppose I can do to speed it up is a good thing. But there is also power, and people do have power to make those choices. You can hurt, you know, companies in their pocket by saying, listen, we want you to take climate medication, or we won't purchase your products. You know, I'm not putting the onus back on the individual, but I'm saying that there is power in that. If you look at how people changed, you know, even in Ireland, you look at the Dunstores workers and the boycott. Ireland invented the boycott. Individuals can bring about a movement and a change. So people can, you know, check what the climate output. I think that we should be aware of all that. I think maybe having some resource that people can check all that information, make sure it's not greenwashed, that it's actual, you know, figures, facts and figures. What is the emissions from that particular company? Can I, you know, make a choice to go for somebody that's better, you know? So I think, you know, and that can be, you know, if people want to check that, and there needs to be maybe a movement around that. But, you know, I mean, I think, yeah, you do need to have companies. You do need to have the people that there's ethical investment, that, you know, diversifying from putting your funds and your pension funds and things, which a lot of groups are doing now, colleges are doing as well. I mean, sometimes you can't because you don't have the alternative energy at the moment yet. But, you know, we'll eventually have that. But you can choose, you know, what company to it wouldn't survive. The company that he named, it wouldn't survive if people were not actually purchasing, and that's a fact.
Callum, you wanted to say something on that?
Yeah, I'd say I do agree with you philosophically. You know, I'm with you there that I do think that we can make choices as consumers, but I'm also painfully aware that that has been the MO of these companies for so long, is end user blame. Now, if we look at massive issues that we've had in the past, like big tobacco, for example, I personally don't think the answer was waiting for legislative change. It was an enormous lawsuit that completely changed that landscape. Philip Morris losing a $20 billion lawsuit did a hell of a lot more than waiting for legislation to come in the US. So I do think I agree with you conceptually, but we are at a point here where we need to tip this over the edge. We need to just push these companies and impact their bottom line. It's very easy to say that we can pick, you know, as consumers, we can pick and choose what we want to do. But you're talking about massive conglomerates that own so many different companies that people aren't aware of. You know, there's virtually no difference shopping between H&M and Primark. And then you're saying you want to fly abroad. Okay, I'll go on Ryanair because that's my only option. I do think that people have that ability to choose, but I don't think that the options are laid out before them. And I think the tipping point will come.
Okay, guys, we're completely out of time, but finally, I'd just like you both maybe to give us your thoughts on how much of an emphasis there should be, as we were saying, on the personal responsibility versus the responsibility of the biggest emitters. Maybe, Callum, starting with you, could you give us your thoughts on that?
That really is the big question, I guess. I would say that for a long time, we've been operating with personal responsibility. I mean, the idea of a personal carbon footprint, which is literally invented by oil companies to make people feel bad about their own personal impact on the environment. I really think we need to shift that narrative back towards companies and understand that while individual action is necessary, it's great, it's not everything. They're going to continue to behave the way they've been behaving, and we need to stop them. And it's not going to be by getting plastic straws in at McDonald's.
What do you think about that, Donna?
Well, it is going to be to a degree about not using plastic straws. I mean, I'm not just saying they are small things and they seem like small incremental changes. Yes, we do need to go of the big companies, but there's power in people. You know, we're living in a democracy. You know, if we vote for the right people, if we ask people when they come to the door to make those changes, you know, and there's empowerment in people making those changes and being able to affect those changes as well, because there's a lot of anxiety around the future and around climate action. I found particularly when people, when they get out and they have, you know, it might seem like a small thing going out there, taking personal responsibility, cleaning up, you know, not having litter around the place, but it can have a big effect on the community you live in and the biodiversity and on yourself, that you feel as if, you know, you're less anxious because you're doing those actions and you're making those changes. So we need to go at it at all levels, and we need to give people that, empower people to be able to make those changes, and to be able to affect change in their life, because that's good for their well-being. You know, people can, you know, make those changes. You're saying, even when you're talking about taking a case, that's going to be a group of people doing it. So, you know, people need to know that they can make those changes, and that it's not all happening from, you know, from that they just have to accept what's happening. You can only make the changes that you can, you know, that you can do yourself. And that you can try and affect the changes that you can do. But there's an awful lot of this talk of there's no point in us doing something because another country does this, or because this company does this, or because this does that. So there's no point in doing anything until all those things happen. Start making the changes now, and they will happen, those incremental changes, and things will happen, and they will happen. The speed of those actions are going to get even greater because they're happening from a government level, at a local level, at a UN level, and an international level. And, you know, the companies and the global corporations are going to have to follow suit. And there are other side, like the insurance. Like, what are they going to do if everybody claims for, you know, extreme weather events and everything? Like, not all corporations or companies are necessarily against climate action. Some of them would be very worried about having to pay out, you know, for extreme weather events and things like that. You know, so
I should hope they would be worried about it. Yeah,
no, yeah, I'm saying so. Yeah, so they're not all. I'm just saying not all. That maybe they should be looking to as well. Maybe we should sub, but maybe there should be companies suing other companies.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Hopefully, it doesn't come down to just everyone's.
I'll have to look into that anyway. That's possible.
Okay, guys, we're way over time, but thank you so much, Donna and Callum, for joining me. I really appreciate that. That was very interesting and informative. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Ours to protect on Dublin's Q102. Love Island is back. So keep up to date and get the latest stories daily with Love Island updates on Q102's social channels. Love Island updates.
With BioFresh Skincare, banish those breakouts and start your journey to flawless skin. See BioFreshSkincare.ie.
Dublin's
Stenin Line is travel how it ought to be. Friendliness that comes from the heart, not a handbook. Proper comfort from lounges to pet cabins. Approved. And more daily sailings to Britain than any other ferry company. Book your trip at steninline.ie today. From €149, car and driver one way. Additional charges apply for some pet facilities. Start your summer with Stenin Line.
The Bargain Town sale is now on. Every item in every store reduced. No exceptions. Don't miss out. The Bargain Town sale is now on.
Switch off the radio. Switch on the out of office. Switch on the indicator. Take that next exit and see where the switch takes you. Let the concrete jungle become the open country road. Let the 90-degree turns become curvaceous sweeping moves. Let the city disappear in the rearview mirror. The Ford Kuga plug-in hybrid. Switch from petrol to electric, electric to petrol at the touch of a button. And switch on the adventure. Ford, bring on tomorrow.
Ferco Windows and Doors. Helping transform homes since 1998. Invest wisely, invest once. Visit ferco.ie.
Hi, Martin Taylor here from Dublin Crystal Gifts and Awards, a family-owned Irish company for over 50 years. We have a large showroom in Dundrum with ample car parking. Call now and see our full range of beautiful crystal gifts, sports and business awards. We are the specialists in glass engraving and we can repair your chipped crystal too. Open Monday to Friday beside the Lewis Bridge and the Dundrum Road. Dublin Crystal Gifts and Awards, Dundrum. Give a little piece of Dublin, they'll remember you for it.
Our grandfather founded Stafford's Funeral Homes in 1953. Generations later, the people we've met and the lives we've helped to celebrate continue to be our inspiration. That's why Stafford's now have some of the most comfortable facilities in Ireland and provide more choice and control for families. Inspired by our grandfather, Tom Stafford, we are proud to serve our community with the highest standards of funeral care. Stafford's. Trust our family to take care of yours.
Even if the sun doesn't shine this summer, you can shine at the Gaiety School of Acting. We have courses in musical theatre, voiceover and acting for adults, and a wide range of creative summer camps for children aged 8 to 18. Find out more and sign up now at gaietyschool.com.
Ours to protect on Dublin's Q102.
You're on Dublin's Q102, where we're delving into all things climate as part of Ours to Protect. Now, for anyone wondering what exactly your footprint on the environment is, I'd like to point you in the direction of the Ecological Footprint Calculator, which is a fun little way to measure your impact on the planet. Now, I did this yesterday, and it's safe to say there is room for improvement. My ecological footprint came out as 6.4 hectares. My carbon footprint is 10.6 tonnes of CO2 every year. And my score says if everyone lived like me, we'd need four Earths to sustain my way of life. So must try harder is the vibe from my score. Now, a few of my colleagues in the office also had a go, and some people fared better than others. Afternoon Drive presenter Liam Coburn fared the best. In fairness, he did pretty well. He only needs two Earths to keep his lifestyle going. But content controller Phil, well, the less said about his score, the better. He needs to cut back on the meat and the chicken rolls at lunch, it would seem. So sorry about that, Phil. And you don't forget, you can see your ecological footprint at footprintcalculator.org.
Feel good Q.
Dublin's Q102.
Now, the latest report from the Environmental Protection Agencies found Ireland's on course to miss its 2030 climate targets by a big margin. That's unless all sectors like agriculture, electricity and transport can deliver further emission reductions. Joining me now to chat about this is Oisin Coughlan from Friends of the Earth. Now, Oisin, you've said these EPA projections are a stark warning for the government. Tell us a little bit about this.
So I think the figures in the latest EPA report are the kick in the backside the government needs to get on with climate action. Our emissions are not coming down in the way that we have committed to under our law now and binding targets set by the Dáil. So this government has been good at the planning and the policy, but not yet at the delivery of climate action on the ground actually cutting emissions. And that's what we need to see now in the remaining 18 months or a year of this government. Delivery, delivery, delivery.
Mm. Oisin, the EPA Director General has said only delivery of large-scale practical actions to decarbonise across all sectors will get us back on track. What sectors, in your view, need the biggest attention right now?
So I think, to be really practical about it, it's all sectors, but actually I think the thing the government need to do is to call an immediate halt to the uncontrolled growth of data centres, which on their own, the way they're going, would blow our total carbon budget. They're heading towards 30% of our electricity and beyond. We need an immediate shift of road space from cars to buses, bicycles and pedestrians. We need to stop putting new gas boilers into our homes and businesses and to start taking them out and replacing them with heat pumps. And we need to stop building with cement so much and start using timber. So they're really practical, but kind of challenging things that we're not used to doing, changes we need to make, and which we can do with kind of government leadership and proper support for people. And if we do that, we can actually meet our targets.
Now, Oisin, you mentioned the growth in the construction of data centres there as being a big threat to our carbon budgets. Why are data centres particularly worrying for you?
Because they are power monsters. They gobble up electricity. So we're already at 14% of our electricity is used to power data centres. That's about twice as much as any other country in the world. Singapore is at about 7%. So we're way beyond our fair share of data centres. And already we're kind of committed to that growing to about 30%. They already have, the big tech companies have permission for another raft of them. And then the government is now like saying, OK, no more connecting to the electricity grid. And they're going to try to connect to the gas grid and make their own electricity on site and power them that way. 11 more have asked for that. So it's potentially like, you know, a huge proportion of our overall energy being gobbled up by data centers. And this is mostly, people think, oh, is this my photographs or my text messages? No, this is mostly mining all our data with their algorithms to find out how best to sell us things, to sell us more things. It's the algorithms of the big social media companies. That's what takes up so much of data centers' capacity and indeed mining Bitcoin and so on. So it's not about personal responsibility. It's about shifting away from a system that is putting big tech and big corporates and big advertising above and beyond our needs as citizens and as citizens of this planet, which has a limited capacity for pollution.
Mm. So finally, Oisin, are you still hopeful then that Ireland can turn things around when it comes to the amount of carbon dioxide we're currently producing?
Well, Greta Thunberg, who's today being nominated for the Freedom of the City of Dublin, has always said that don't look for hope, look for action, because when you see action, hope is everywhere. So I'm confident we can do this if the government acts in a concerted way from the Taoiseach on down across all the ministers. When I see that happening, I'd be very hopeful we can do it.
Feel Good Q.
Dublin's Q102.
Now, joining me in studio is our reporter, Luke Delaney. Luke, thanks for joining me.
Anytime, Kevin. Delighted to be here.
Now, over the next 12 months, Luke will be heading out and about in Dublin, shining a spotlight on climate-related issues affecting our everyday lives. Luke, tell us a little bit about Ours to Protect and what climate areas you'll be delving into.
Exactly. So over the next year, it's going to be a very exciting time. We're going to be delving into a different climate topic every week, putting a package together, trying to raise awareness for everyone around the country so they can kind of get to grabs at where we're at with different topics and kind of just making about the climate awareness for everybody that's out there. So it's not just your children learning in school and your secondary school education and stuff. This is going to be for all age ranges, and we'll be kind of speaking to a lot of people, whether it's just people out on the streets or whether it's going to be experts in the field. So it's something I'm really looking forward to doing.
Excellent. Now, you are a recent university graduate yourself and as part of the new generation of young people who we're told support more radical action around climate change. Is it your experience that Gen Z is more tuned into the issues affecting our planet? Or do you feel that narrative might be a little bit overblown?
I think it can be overblown, but I think also in the grand scheme of things, it probably is going to be this generation that are going to be the ones taking action. I know from myself, my time in college, even speaking to friends and stuff, it's something that is kind of growing in importance, even in their heads. Even I think a couple of years ago during COVID, it might have been in people's minds, and kind of in this day and age now, it's kind of on the forefront of everyone's minds that action needs to be taken. Everyone has to do their own little bit. So I think this generation is kind of learning that it's almost nearly down to us to set the standard and keep going.
Okay, now you've already been hitting the streets of Dublin to get a gauge on people's views on climate. So what did you start off by asking them?
So I went up and just asked a range of different people what they think is the biggest issue affecting us. If they could kind of pinpoint one thing, whether it be waste management, transport, water. And I got a range of different answers, and it was very interesting to kind of see from different age groups where they think that we need to take the most action by. And obviously everyone has different ideas of what is the most radical and what is the worst thing that's kind of happening to us. So we got a good few different answers.
Okay, let's take a listen.
I don't think it's a topic that's brought up enough by the government. Even young people, there's not enough education around for us to even speak on the subject. We don't really know what we're talking about. We were just talking about emissions there now. We were talking about electric cars and how they're coming more in, which is good to see. I think waste is one of our biggest problems. Like, one of the streets we were walking up the other night, the amount of rubbish on the street. Like, the government and the council need to do more about bins and rubbish picking up the streets. My family's lazy, so we just put everything in the one bin. We're awful for that.
No, I say we're pretty good. But then at the same time, I do think they put a lot of blame on like the individuals as people. It's like they don't put the same blame on the companies, obviously, because they're the power that's powering them. The money's behind them.
I think a few tips for households and how you can make a difference. But then you see private jets flying off of Dublin Airport, and they're Dublin whatever. An ordinary flight would take, so sometimes it's a losing battle.
I think we are doing a lot, but I'm not sure it's all the right stuff. I don't really buy the whole thing with closing the streets and there's no traffic in town. I just think, honest to God, it's killing the city a little bit. And to me, I know the bikes are great, but that's again not political, but I just think that it's not handled properly.
I think the local authorities can do a lot more obvious stuff. I know that in Dunleary Rathdown County Council, we've heard that they don't want to put any extra bins out. And one of the reasons given unofficially was because the workers don't want to empty any more bins. So, for instance, it's very hard to enforce environmental policy for people, for instance, walking dogs around if there's nowhere to put your dog waste that they're screaming about. So you can't have it both ways.
I mean, to some extent, yes, everybody is individually responsible, but like I said, there is not, I don't feel like there is examples set.
Okay, so Luke, from what I'm getting with that is that not enough examples are being set by the decision makers. And not enough bins, apparently. What do you make of people's responses?
Yes, and that was something that I was quite surprised by. Obviously, there's a huge emphasis being put on waste management, and obviously all around the country, it's something that needs to be addressed. How are we going to stop waste being put into the waters, all the littering around our streets, if there isn't enough bins? So that was something that people seemed to be very, very passionate about as well. And then we also kind of wanted to know if people, they were all speaking about the stuff that needs to change and all, but we're also very keen to know, when you go back home, are you sorting out your own stuff? Are you recycling? Are you using your own compostable bins and all as well? So we asked them, when they get home, are they aware of the environment?
Okay, so we really look forward to hearing more from you and about your Ours to Protect reports over the coming months. So thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Bill, Kevin. Cheers.
Feel Good Q.
Dublin's Q102.
Well, that's about all we have time for this evening. My thanks to all our guests for taking part. Remember, you can find out more about the Ours to Protect project at ourstoprotect.ie, which is a one-stop shop on all the topics being covered over the next 12 months. Don't forget to head to footprintcalculator.org as well. There's also a survey we'd love for you to take around the project. We'll be tweeting that out across our social channels as well. That's it for me. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Dublin's Q102.
With the IBI and funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee.
Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.